When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. It streamlines your processes to make your business more efficient, which makes you less busy. Mail checks, invoices, legal documents, and everything you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. Seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart. Schedule package pickups and see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers. With rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS rates. And with the Stamps.com mobile app, you can take care of mailing and shipping wherever you are. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up with code PROGRAM for a 4-week trial, plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's stamps.com. Code program.
Welcome along to the Wise Men Seer podcast. Well, 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 what can happen in a week since we all sat here last Monday and discussed Tony Mowbray's quotes post Millwall, saying they read like somebody who knew their time was up. That's how it worked out. So, super dodgy in charge with Proctor again, and this time we got a much nicer outcome. So, joining myself, Stephen Goldsmith, to talk about that, amongst all of the other things that link to that, is Gareth Barker. Evening.
Hello. Hello, oh, hello, hello. Yeah, all right, yeah. Monday.
The listeners have heard from you since last Monday, because you were there. It was last Monday as well, wasn't it? But we put it out on Tuesday. Two pods in a day, that's a first.
Yeah, I know, well, yeah. Is it a first?
I don't know. I feel like I must be. I don't know.
Anyway, who cares?
We've done a few emergency pods over the years, definitely.
Yeah, we have done a few, yeah.
Right, so we thought it would be good to get in somebody who knew Tony and is close to the club, because he covers them for a living, and that is Phil Smith of the Sunderland Echo. Good evening.
Evening, all.
Evening. I was going to see somebody with a finger on the pulse, but you might not have a clue.
I've got the wrong person, haven't you? So
we'll find out and opt out, because we will want to know your opinion, certainly, on what's been happening. But should we just... we did a reaction pod, so we've got the Leeds game coming up as well. So should we just sort of brush over the weekend and then the Leeds game, and then get on to the other stuff? Does that sound okay to people? Yeah.
You do whatever you want. I'll just go along with it. Yeah, yeah.
Well, I mean, we hammered the ref on Saturday, so I don't know how much of that we need to do. Any comment, Gareth? Because it's your favourite. It's been your favourite topic this year.
Has it really?
Why not start there?
I mean,
you don't have to if you don't think we're adding it. I think the only one we didn't mention was the elbow to Pritchard's face, which I don't think we covered on the reaction, which with that one, it's like similar to Ballard's, I guess, in a way. Like, you're given a yellow card, so why? What's the yellow card for? Like, what are you writing in your report? That guy smashes somebody in the face with an elbow. What are you writing is the reason you're giving them a yellow card for? That's what doesn't make any sense, does it? Because if you say he violently smashed somebody in the face and it's a red card, so that's a bit strange.
I don't know. I mean... Sometimes it's just like, well, it's almost pointless to just talk about it, because you don't know what's going to happen. I mean, some stuff in recent weeks has gone our way, so I guess we can't complain too much. You know, the penalty we got in Millwall was probably not a penalty, and that gets us a point there. Mm. It doesn't affect the first goal scorer for us should have been sent off. Well, you don't get the offside goal. Maybe you could say it's balanced itself out. Who knows?
Argument for a penalty at each end.
Yeah. So, you know. It's just, you know, widespread incompetence, really, so you can't really complain too much.
Right. So anyway. We'll not dwell on it too much.
Yeah, don't dwell on that. It's boring, isn't it?
But, good performance, Phil, though, yeah?
Yeah, I thought so. I thought it was... I didn't think there was a huge amount that was different to the previous week. I thought maybe there was probably more intensity than the Huddersfield game. Probably, especially in the early part of the game, played forward a bit quicker, I think. And that certainly suited Bellingham. I thought, you know, he was a handful for their defenders. Yeah, I thought, no, to be fair, you know, West Brom are a very, very good side. We've got an excellent defensive record. That was the most shots on target we've conceded all season. I was having a look earlier today. So I think it was a really good performance, but I think it's also probably just a bit of variance as well, you know, in terms of how many chances had Ballard missed from set pieces in the previous week. And there you go. The first game after Mowbray goes, he puts one in and, you know, then the defender slips and you know, Pritchard's able to set Neil away. So I didn't think there was a huge amount of difference either in you sort of the setup or the performance level from the previous weeks. But having said that, you know, I didn't feel hugely confident going into the game because I think West Brom are a good side, especially defensively. So, you know, to see someone create, you know, quite a few decent chances throughout the game, I thought was very impressive performance. And the setup was spot on. The timing of bringing Pritchard on was spot on. Yeah, it was definitely a good day for Mike Dodds, I think.
And I think what I liked with their manager at the end of the match, like acknowledging that as well, he didn't go in his team and he didn't seem to think that they did a lot wrong. He just praised Sunderland, didn't he, for their performance?
Yeah, I think very very much so. I think what he did say was that he felt the offside goal really knocked his team. I think he felt that this sort of confidence was drained from that, and there was a nervousness about them. But yeah, more than anything, he was very very complimentary about Sunderland. And you know, and I think what he also said was that from his analysis, you know, he felt they should be higher up in the table based on the performances, and that the only issue he could see in previous weeks was the finishing, which is kind of what we've all been saying, isn't it, really, for a while. And I suppose moving forward, I guess that's still kind of the biggest question in a way. And I suppose it's probably still the biggest riddle, if you like, for whoever the next person is to solve.
And we've spoken about a lot about how we think centre forwards who are up to the certain standing need just have a anticipation of where the ball is going to go and stuff. And Job had scored a couple of goals there early in the season, which weren't like, you know, Jermaine Defoe against Newcastle goals, but they are like just sniffing, you know, being around to pick little pieces up. And that's what he did. He anticipated. He got himself, you know, it looks easy, but it's not. Clearly, it's not. Like, centre forwards have knack and anticipation of what's going to happen. And he anticipated that the keeper might spill a ball. He was in the right place to put it in.
He did fine. His job, you know, as a striker. He did all right earlier in the season. Thought generally, that sort of mixed sort of feelings about the game from variety of different people. Kind of some people saying we're a bit average, but managed to get the job done. I thought we played quite well generally and dominated the game for the vast majority of it. And you know, I echo your thoughts on Huggins on the reaction. I think he's probably been our best player for the last 2 months, most consistent, and has had a massive impact, I think, from that area. I agree as well on the comments about him going over the right side. I'd agree with Phil on his comments relating to the way we played. I thought it was pretty much, you know, it wasn't like we reinvented the wheel, like all some major tweaks had been made. It was pretty much the same way as we played every week, really, which you would kind of expect, given that the coaches involved are the same coaches that were there under Mowbray. So, and they did probably most of the coaching, on the pitch coaching in the build up to games. So, yeah, I know there's been some comments about like it was, oh well, straight away we've done this, we've done that. To me, I couldn't see that. I mean, everyone's entitled to their opinion, but you know, I couldn't really see any like drastic difference apart from maybe switching the fullbacks, which gave Roberts a bit more license because Huggins tends to go beyond a bit more than Hume does. So. But I thought, you know, I thought Roberts had obviously got man of the match. I thought he had a good game. Again, still no assist or goal for him. Clark again, thought it was excellent. You know, Job had a good game. Oshish, it's funny because I thought he had pretty average game, but he you know, he was involved in the two key moments where he's at the post, and obviously the one for the offside goal where he's got a shot away, which I think is positive because he can be quiet in the game but still impact it. So I thought Neil was excellent again. Lovely goal. I mean, Pritchard comes on. You know, it's absolutely mad when you think we were trying to get him out of the club basically in the summer. That ball for the second goal is just ridiculous, really. Made it look easy, but it's an either needle pass to the outside of his foot under pressure.
He's drawn them all in. The way he drew the defenders in by, like, he's obviously had a little look, and then but then he's looked the other way to make the defenders think he hasn't seen that pass on, hasn't he? So it's a great sort of, like, no-look pass to the outside of his foot. Brilliant.
I thought, you know, West Brom were functional. I was expecting a bit more from them. They just lacked a cutting edge, really, which I was surprised at. And, you know, it's good to dominate a game. You know, we could have won that. If we'd won that game 4-5-1, I don't think anyone could have had any complaints, really, given the chances that were created. But, yeah, I mean, it's just a funny one, isn't it, really? You know, sitting here a week later again, it's a week since Tony Mowbray was, a week minus a few hours since Tony Mowbray's gone. Still seems pretty, there's nothing really out there that suggests that we're close to appointing anybody. And the win does help ease that.
It does.
Pressure, because if we'd lost the game, people would be talking more about the manager. So
conversation would be very different now. We'd be having, wouldn't it? We wouldn't be like leading on a good performance. Phil would be getting it. We'll be getting grilled on behalf of the club. Things will be different. In terms of changes, it's hard to advocate changes, but there's an obvious one, Phil, isn't there? And Gav's spoke about the impact. Pritchard's out off the bench again. Got over all ground here because we acknowledge a lot on here that he's an excellent sub to bring on an hour into the game. When the game slowed down, he always injects a bit of pace and a bit of drive and just ups the tempo. But how long do you say, you know, from his point of view, that might sound all well and good, but if you're thinking, actually, you know, I've come off the bench and I've set the two goals up, how unfair is it that he keeps getting that role in the team? Because surely at some point, logic would say he'd be rewarded with a start, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I think so. And I think especially in, you know, Aushish has started three games in a row now, having obviously not had a huge amount of a pre-season, having primarily come off the bench for his first however long. To me, it just seems like, not just because of Pritchard's ability, but it just seems like an obvious time as well to give Aushish a breather. He's had three starts now. He's looked really good off the bench when he's come on as well. I mean, similar to Pritchard, he's really benefited when there's been a bit more sort of space in the game. So to me, it seems like the obvious one. I assume that he's kind of okay to start. I mean, Mowbray pretty much told us, you know, a couple of weeks into the season that the fact that he wasn't starting was primarily because of this expectation he was going to leave. At this point, you don't see any reason why he shouldn't be in, you know, eligible to start. So, and to be fair, we asked Dodds about that after the game. I asked him whether, you know, he felt Pritchard was playing his way into contention for a start. And, you know, I took it from him that he probably would start. I think that would be the only change, to be honest. Burstow and Himi are playing in the under-21s game tonight at Ebledon, so that pretty much tells you it's Job on the ender, and I think it's highly likely to be Job. So, yeah, there's not going to be many changes tomorrow, I don't think. I think Pritchard's probably the only one.
Yeah, don't think I'll make another change from that, Gareth.
No,
more,
I think...
Because you only have a debate the 0-9 thing at centre-half, isn't it? But I'd still... I wouldn't go all in to say it should either at this point. You've just won a game comfortably, you did nothing wrong at the weekend.
Well,
the penalty
could have been the penalty.
To be
at the
fair,
end
I don't think that was a penalty.
No, me neither.
Because as soon as he got the ball, you knew he was going to go down. The whole stadium knew he was going to go down, and he did. And I'd be fuming with him if I was our manager.
I think if he gives a Roberts one, he might give that one, but. If you're not giving the Roberts one, you're probably not giving that one. So, yeah, I think He probably got away with one there. Just sometimes he does daft stuff, doesn't he? You know, every game he seems to do something a bit silly. But in terms of what I've seen, the options as alternatives to him, I would be going with 09 and Ballard. Based on what we've got and the fullbacks we've got available currently. You know, I wonder when Sertan will be back. Again, that seems to be a bit quieter. So hopefully he'll be back in the next couple of weeks. And obviously Elise, hopefully he'll be back too. So we get a few more options in there across the back. So, you know, it's just frustrating because when we've got that group of players all fully fit, I know every club is probably saying the same. You know, we are a bit of a force. We're just missing, on top of those players, we're just missing like that knack up front or a bit of sort of strength and depth in the middle of the park. When you start losing players, there's nothing really in that gap between those who are ready to start and those who aren't. It's maybe Bar and Aushish are probably the kind of the two in between is that you'd say that we have in the squad. And then the rest of them look a bit not quite there yet. So it's just, you know, if we just had a couple of options, I'm not saying we need to like fill the squad with, you know, a load of geriatric championship journeymen. I'm just talking about if we had a couple of options there with a bit more experience, it might be nice to have those available. You know, we're linked with Jerry Yates, weren't we? And he's scoring goals at Swansea. You think a player like that on our team would probably get himself, you know, 10, 15 goals, the amount of chances we create. But it'd be funny, wouldn't it? Because like someone like him would be quite an unglamorous sort of acquisition, wouldn't it? And do you think people would be like, would they rather have the
I don't think it was cheap, was he?
I don't know. Was he about 2-3 million or something?
Like 3 million in my mind or something that to pull out from, I think, because he's did all
right. I would say that's quite cheap. I would say that's quite cheap for a championship striker.
But you wouldn't get him for that now. It's probably double in price now.
Yeah, I'm not saying we should go and buy him. I'm just saying in the summer, like, obviously he was available and he went to Swansea.
Yeah.
Because obviously they sold Pirro, didn't they, to Leeds. But, I don't know. That's the thing that gets us frustrated sometimes when I'm thinking, like, for all the good things, if we just had that other thing that it's not unattainable, but we seem to not want to do it for principal reasons, we'd be right in the mix. And we're not that far off it, but it's just like, I just feel like we could. You know, you look at Southampton there, what they got, 40, 41 points or whatever. Just seems crazy to me that they're basically going to 2 points a game or whatever, and after the start that they had, stuff like that. So it's just a bit odd, the championship, isn't it, in that respect? But we just need.
We know how open it is, but this year seems to be on another level altogether, doesn't it? I mean, like you look at Burrow, and they're like suddenly 13th or something, and like how's that?
I think there's like two tiers this year almost. I think the top four to me looks, I've got to be honest, pretty much sewn up now. I just don't see anyone breaking that top four. I know obviously there'll be questions over whether Ipswich can last the pace, but, you know, they just keep finding ways to win. You know, with the budgetary advantage that you have when you come down from the Premier League, you have to be in a right mess not to be up there. And I think Leeds, Southampton and Leicester, I just don't see anyone catching them. So for me, it almost feels like for the rest of us, it's 2 from 9 or 10, probably, sort of slugging it out for 5th and 6th. So it's almost like a strange, it feels very cut off at the top, but then, you know, you've got probably, like I say, about 10 teams fighting for two remaining playoff places, I think.
I mean, Ipswich just six wins ahead of sixth place, essentially, aren't they? So, what, 18 points? So you'd have to be a, you know, six-game swing for somebody to overtake them from sixth place.
Second best ever start
to Leicester, who has the best start.
Yeah. So that's just.
I mean, you know, we always say 2 points per game, don't we? And Leeds are above 2 points per game, and they're like 7 points off second. You know, it's remarkable.
I mean, you look at Ipswich as well. I mean, I know it's kind of digressing here, but like Wes Burns, I mean, looked an all right player in League One. Like, he looked a bit dangerous, a bit flighty at times, but he looked like he had a bit of quality, like almost like a bit of a better Chris Maguire when Chris Maguire was better than he was towards the end. Do you know what I mean? And like, he seems to be absolutely flying in the Championship. It's just funny, isn't it, how these things work out? And Chaplin, Broadhead players like that, Chaplin kind of like a, you know, just kind of a league, it's like, feels like a League One player who just seems to know, it just seems to have clicked. I don't know, it's just one of those, isn't it?
He's got to take a lot of credit for that. What's happening now, I think clearly.
Should we go and get him then?
Give some structure. Well, that's it. He's not going to come in now, is he? So would you start Pritchard then, just to round that conversation off, Gareth? Because I don't think there's any other debate.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Pritchard for Aushish. Because I think it's quite good, you know, he brought Aushish on for Pritchard, 25 minutes to go. It's not a bad change, is it, you know?
I think we're all in agreement with that then. There's your preview. There's your preview for your Leeds game. Right, okay, we'll take a quick break and then we'll talk about the obvious afterwards.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
When everyone's on the same page, getting things done at work is easy. Make a bigger impact at work with Grammarly. Grammarly is your secure AI writing partner that allows your team to make their point and move faster. You can even save time by going from spending hours editing drafts to just seconds. Join the 96% of Grammarly users that say it helps them craft more impactful writing. Sign up and download Grammarly for free at grammarly.com/podcast. That's grammarly.com/podcast. Easier said, done.
Welcome back to the Wise Men Say podcast. Okay, so it's clearly obvious that Sunderland aren't going to have their new head coach in place by the Leeds game. I don't think many people really expected that to happen. Before we start speculating about names and stuff, Phil, just want to know your thoughts on... So obviously the club are looking for this consistency plan now, where the idea is somebody can come in and not be disruptive. We certainly know that's the case when it comes to transfer policy. I don't think anyone's in any doubt over that. But does that extend to the coaching side of things as well? Because I was thinking about this, you know, Dodds and Proctor now have been here and worked for two different managers. And it seems like any new head coach will be asked to work with those guys. Is that the impression you get?
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. I think they are, it's, you know, a modern football term, club appointments, if you like. And the idea being that when your new head coach comes in, I think they obviously have latitude to bring someone in with them, you know, someone they trust. And but I would be absolutely stunned if Dodds isn't the next head coach. You know, I'd be absolutely stunned if he wasn't involved in the setup. I think that's absolutely part of what they do. And what you actually tend to see is, generally speaking, if an academy coach leaves, they tend to promote from within as well, rather than recruit from outside as much as possible. So, yeah, I'd be absolutely stunned if either Dodds or Proctor left. You know, and I still think there's probably half a chance it could be Dodds for a longer spell, whether that be to the end of the season or what have you. That's just my hunch anyway.
Well, we've got to follow on from that then, really. We can't leave and come back to that, can we? So I actually posed that question to people after the match on Saturday as well. How much of a possibility do you think that is? So you've got a hunch that'll happen. Temporary or permanent? Like a longer temporary period or possibly...
Yeah, longer temporary, I think. Like I say, that's just my hunch. I think probably where I'd come at it from is that I think obviously when Mowbray left, there was obviously some kind of consternation, wasn't there, understandably so, that why isn't somebody lined up? Why wouldn't you bring someone in, you know, have someone lined up. If you're going to make this change, have someone lined up straight away so you can make the change. And obviously what became clear in a couple of days afterwards that, you know, they were going to go through, inverted commas, the process, if you like. They were going to do their shortlist. They were going to interview candidates and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, when you're speaking to people about why, you know, that's the case, the thing that keeps coming back is, well, we really trust Mike Dodds. We think he's an excellent coach. We think he's a safe pair of hands. You know, we think he's developed hugely from when he did the job 2 years ago. He has a huge input in the setup. He has a really good relationship with the players. He knows really well. And it just, like I say, my feeling is, well, if they think so highly of him, if he gets a couple of good results, does it not naturally follow that they might ask him to continue? That's not me saying that's definitely going to happen. They've clearly been interviewing other candidates. And I think there's definitely other people who they would like to recruit, but it's the middle of the season. It can sometimes be difficult to get managers out of clubs. There can sometimes be compensation, all these things to factor in. So it's just something I've wondered pretty much from the start is what happens if Mike Dodds gets two good results against West Brom and Leeds and shows that he's capable, because it would have been impossible for them to give him it a week ago, right? Because yeah. To so many people, Mike Dodds was the guy from the Doncaster and Cheltenham games. And fair play to him. Obviously, he's just shown on Saturday there's a lot more to him than that. So, yeah, it's just something I've thought all along, was if they think that highly of him and they trust him with these games, well, what then happens if he goes and succeeds in those two games? And like I said, this is 100%. And I'm also saying, I'm not saying like he's going to get a four-year contract. I'm just saying, is there a possibility that they say, well, you know what, we're not actually in any rush whatsoever. If he does well, but we'll see. I mean, I'm not trying to suggest that it's all sewn up or anything like that. There's clearly other people they like and who they've been speaking to, and if they can do that, then I'm sure they would. But, you know, just, sorry, last point. For an example, I would say like someone like Will Still, right, who obviously is perfect for what they want. You know, their ideal young up-and-coming coach, said it'd be tactically really bright, bilingual, but, you know, he'll be expensive. He's sitting fifth in League One. So, yeah, I think it's going to be a really interesting sort of few days. As I say, my hunch is that Dodds would have a chance. But I honestly don't know which way it will go just yet.
I see the logic in that talk completely. And I think that's why I pose a question myself to people after the match on Saturday. Just for the consistency purposes, we've discussed the players clearly like him. You know, he put a team out against a very good team on Saturday, and we won convincingly.
If we lost on Saturday, we wouldn't be having this conversation.
But this is what I'm saying. So that's leading on from my next point. But then, like, you think, well, in a way, though, you would rather that just would be a bit more decisive than that. Because what if Leeds then come here and win 6-1 or something on Tuesday? Then suddenly, that might not be Mike Dodds' fault. It might be that Leeds are just much better than us at the moment or whatever. You know, you've just said yourself, filler on just about on 2 points a game or maybe over 2 points a game or whatever. But that will change instantly the opinion of what fans want, certainly. So then it's like they're starting to search again almost, you know what I mean? Like in a way, well, you just kind of hope.
Yeah, it's interesting with this regime, if you like, because sometimes they seem quite sensitive to fan perception with some of the things they've done. And sometimes they don't seem bothered at all, you know, as with Mowbray going last week. So I'm not entirely sure which way it would go. Like I say, I'm not suggesting for a minute that the thought was from day one, well, let's just give Dodds an interim role and hope he does well, and then we can appoint him. I think they clearly have, you know, candidates who they like, and if they can get, they will appoint. But I just, like I say, from sort of what I hear and my feeling being around the place, I've just wondered if my feeling has been that he's had a bit of a chance to audition, if you like. Doesn't mean he'll get it, but, you know, that's giving you my honest opinion from my feeling around the place. That's you know, kind of how I see it.
You could say something on that, Gareth.
I just think it's, if you think he's good enough, give him it straight away. Don't give him it on two wins. If you win the game on Wednesday, it doesn't change anything. Because he could lose, get a point and lose the next two games. And then it's like, oh, we shouldn't have appointed him. If you think he's good enough to coach the team as a head coach, but you've always thought that, then you should give him the job. I don't think any results as an interim coach, two or three games, should influence the decision. Because it's not about, that's a very short term thought process to what appears to be very much a long-term approach from the club. will still think if the fans, I know you're saying it'd take money to get them out of there. Well, if that's who you want, then go and pay the money to get them then. If you see that option as the person to take the club forward and you have to pay money to get them out, well, we haven't really spent any money. So spend some. If that's the man you think we should invest our hopes in and the plan in, do it. Because if you don't, then really you're going for second, third, fourth best, aren't you? And what does that say? So, you know, it's not like we're short of cash, are we? Like, let's be honest. Like, well, we're not, are we? You know, we're actively trying to sell players, actively trying to move players on. We don't pay very high wages. Like, relatively speaking, for a club of our size, for a team that probably has the most matchday revenue in the league, although that doesn't touch certain things, but we are on the telly more than like any other team pretty much in the Championship. And yes, the TV money doesn't hit the heights of Premier League TV money, but we're still on the telly all the time. I'm just saying, and you know, apparently we've got a billionaire owner, so I just kind of think if you really truly believe that you're going to, firstly, we need to make a change in manager when we're 3 points off the playoffs with an arguably weaker squad than last year. Now, they might not think it's a weaker squad, but in my opinion, as a football fan looking at the football team and that we don't have our player of the season, we don't have the striker that scored 11 goals in 14 games or whatever it was when he was fit, and we don't have Ahmad, I would say that probably makes us weaker. If you think somebody, if you're going to make, what's the intention of the change? Like, do you know what I mean? It's just odd to me. So if you think I'm going to make this change, get rid of this manager now, even though you overachieved last season, really, with a better squad, what's your expectation? If you want to make a change to bring somebody in to get us into the playoffs, then, and you think that whoever it is the man, then you go and get them. Like, in my opinion, don't bother making the change otherwise, because there's no point.
I think part of what I would say is, to be honest, I think the decision for Mowbray to leave, I think that was in large part sort of a breakdown in relationships, to be honest, more than necessarily a results-driven thing, because I think that, you know, and maybe down the line, I'll get the chance to speak to someone about this and then they'll tell me I'm wrong and they say it differently. But, you know, they talk a lot about evidence-based approach and being data-led and, you know, by pretty much every measurement that, you know, Sunderland were one of the best teams in the division and everything suggested that their results would turn if they kept playing at the level they were. And lo and behold, that happened one game later. My impression from being around the place, you know, since the summer and being around this season, whether less about results and performance, though obviously that will be a factor in it, and just more about personality. I think clearly some of the frustrations were less about performance and results. I think it seems like there were some frustrations with maybe the way players were being integrated into the team who came in the summer. There was clearly some butting of heads about selection and about which players were playing and which players were coming on. And there's clearly, you know, a perception from the club hierarchy, if you like, that they feel they can sort of drive better standards, if you like, around the place, whether that be training or whatever. So I think probably the starting point is to say that, you know, although it came at the end of a bad week of results, I think the bad week of results exposed the way that relationships had kind of broken down behind the scenes, I think. And so I don't really see this as like, oh, we think we've got a bad team, you know, therefore we need to go and get somebody to fix it. I'm not sure that was what this was about, really. Although, of course, it was to a small extent.
I can understand it, but what does it actually say or mean from a what is a winning secondary now? I mean, the players we brought in, if they're insisting we play, are clearly not at the level required to get results. So he has to keep going back to the players he can kind of trust, and then beyond that, there's not a lot more. I mean, Dodds has kind of done it to an extent at the weekend, hasn't he? Because he hasn't picked Russin or Best or Mayenda. And me, he wasn't even on the bench. So from strike perspective,
he's do the same stuff.
Yeah. Yes. So what? I just think it's odd. It's this thing, and I've talked about it before. I just struggle with it a little bit because I'm like, well, what is the point in this? What is the goal? What are we trying to do? Why am I going to the game? What's the purpose? So if the results are irrelevant and it's somebody not complying, then if we're going to say, well, we're going to get rid of somebody because it's not even about results, it's because they're not playing these players who aren't ready when we've asked him to, then what? I just don't. If you're paying £400 a year to go to the match and the goal isn't even to win, like, I just don't get it. It doesn't make sense to me. Like, I'm all for, like, giving younger players an opportunity and developing them, but it's not... So the Championship is not a finishing school. It's a tough league with some good players in it. As you can see, top three have got all over 40... Well, top four have all got over 40 points. It's not...
Southampton just under, I think, 38.
Do you know what I mean? It isn't a place to come and cut your teeth, unless you're exceptionally talented.
Maybe they think someone is going to come in and should be doing better. It's just you get mixed messages at times, don't you?
You
get mixed messages from them at times, don't you? Like, on one hand, it's like, oh, we're punching up above our weight. Well, all right, they were ahead of plan, and then the other hand, well, you suck your manager when you're in the playoff spot. So, like. I don't know if Phil said it's deeper than that and there's more layers to it than that. But like you say, if you just look at the bottom line as a football fan, the aim should be Sunderland to underperform. Their history tells us they're underperforming and we know this. So the aim should be to try and get promoted and
I think
you get mixed messages as to whether they want to do that at times.
I think in what's clearly been a tough division based on... Yeah, so we got in the playoffs last year with the lowest... points, and I think this year sixth place has the lowest points ourselves after the amount of games played. But I think that's more of a reflection where there's a few sort of heavyweight boxers at the top there, and the rest are kind of slugging it out in a different division, which is fine. But I don't know. I think we're over it. I think we're massively overachieved last year, but I think we're overachieving to a point this year, to be honest. But I think we are. I think we're overachieving more this year than we were last year, based on the squad. In my opinion, I mean, some people might disagree with that, but we've seen nothing from any of the new players we've brought in, apart from Bellingham. Have we?
But we've also not also seen much from teams we've played either.
We haven't. No, we haven't. But the point is, though, if we... But it doesn't. The other teams are irrelevant because we are building our side to win games, apparently. We should be building our team to have a structure to win games in this division. And I would argue that players we've brought in, Aushish has done okay. Bar's taken 2 years, 18 months, sorry, to look okay and have his moments, generally it's the English players we've brought in or the English-based players we've brought in who've done better. And really, if you look at, say, the signs in the summer, it's only really been, you know, Bellingham, hasn't it, really? Ballard, obviously, is... you know, a fine player, but the younger, sort of less experienced players, you'd probably see only Bellingham's really made the impact, and the other ones haven't done anything like significant immediately. And I know people might say, well, you need time to integrate these players and for them to get better, but I want to win games, so I don't want to, like, fritter around the Championship for however long and be a feeder club for other people and you know, because I don't really care if we sell Jack Clarke for 20 million quid, because unless the money's reinvested accordingly, then what's the point from a fan's perspective? I'd rather we just kept Jack Clarke because it's more fun for me. So, you know, I'm just more curious about what the call and the purpose of the club is. You know, I know there was talk of a 5-year plan at the, which seems to be another cliche that's rolled out from the sort of more LinkedIn types. Well, we're into what year? 3.5 of the 5, probably. And we're supposed to get what, promotion in 5. So there's going to have to be quite a leap in the next 18 months in terms of what to give us the backbone to get that done, if that's what the goal is. So I'm not trying to be negative or anything. It's just, it's a curiosity to me, because it's weird to go to games where the kind of feeling is that the purpose isn't to win. I don't know if maybe I'm misreading that, or...
Well, it's hard not to say, like, when Tony Mulgrew comes out and suggests it, like, what you're meant to think as a fan. Because that's the thing, we do the podcast for a start, people consume more than what's just going on a match day now, and sometimes you wish it wasn't the case in a way, and you just could just concentrate on the 11 lads playing and celebrate the wins and stuff, but it's bigger than that now, isn't it?
We know so much about everything now.
Yeah, well, that's what I mean.
We're guilty about, not say guilty about ourselves, we're complicit.
Part of it, yeah. Yeah.
You know, Chris will do his post match stuff, and he does the stats. And, you know, it's interesting, the narrative after the game using stats, that our XG in the last 6 games is the lowest it's been on Saturday. Yet, apparently, people are saying, well, we've created more chances on Saturday. Well, in the stats based world, according to XG, we did not. Even though we did create a lot of good chances, we didn't create as many in the previous, right, as the previous 5 games under a different coach. So the coach that left or was removed because he wasn't getting results, and people were talking about the fact that, you know, we don't create enough chances for strikers, well, or don't create enough chances in general. Just, if you're going to go on stats, that's not true. So it's, you know, we know so much now. It's almost, I'm not a dinosaur where I'm going like, well, you know, this modern football, it's not like it used to be, all this kind of thing. I'm not talking about that. It's just we cannot analyze everything, and to the point where it might be overthought. And ultimately, you've got to get a team who's homogenized of good players, of decent enough players, wherever they're from, who fit a system, who can compete in the league that they're playing in order to get results. Now, we've done that in large part. However, when we've lost 8 games already, we're not in others. And I think on layman's terms, you can clearly see where the deficiencies are. However, it's like, well, the deficiencies actually don't exist in the world in which we are operating. We're more interested in other things. So it's, you know, again, I'm not trying to be negative or anything. It's just, it's just sometimes a bit difficult to get your head around as somebody who's, you know, said again, when you're the one paying 500 quid to go to the match, and then you're being told that, you know, we've got to run the club in an austere manner. And I've got to like it. I'm not talking about spending billions of pounds. I'm just talking about, like I was trying to reiterate the point earlier, if you're going to go and say you decide you want Will Steele and you have to pay some money, then go and get him then. Because I'm having to pay to watch. So you should pay for what you want. So that's what I think anyway. Some may disagree. Some may be sick of hearing me going on about it.
I think a lot of fairness in that. So I wanted to wrap up a quick thing to mention. I was in 2 minds whether to speculate about the Newcastle allocation, but it's apparently Total Sport have now reported that they're going to get upper and lower tier in the North Stand.
They're getting lower tier?
Upper and lower. Between 5
well,
and
anything 7, in. Anything in the lower bowl is absolutely idiotic. They shouldn't it's be like, getting
so they're moving fans from their season tickets to accommodate them. If they're saying that the away the top tier bit's not safe, then reduce allocations. It's not safe. You don't give them it at the expense of the home fans.
No,
it's an absolute shocker.
It's a joke.
Of a decision.
If that's true, then people shouldn't bother going. Why are you giving up our
home? Imagine them doing that.
Giving up our home.
Just never in a million years. Never in a million years.
No,
to make it as hard as possible for us.
I just think, no, we shouldn't be doing that. It's like you're being cooked. It's pathetic. We shouldn't be doing that. If that's what's happening.
Never done that for anybody else.
No. I wouldn't be doing that. I mean, if that's what's going to happen, then I think there needs to be a conversation with, you know, people he is and with. I now know a lot of people say, well, people have been harping on about wanting to move the away fans back to the lower bowl and
but
all this
there,
kind of
so
thing, and they'll go well, and they'll go, well, you know, you did want this and blah, blah. I'm sorry, but it's, I think, as a gesture, it's completely unacceptable. I think it's like, you know, it's a derby.
Moving
as
groups
I said before,
of people who sit
like,
next to each other in a stand, so you can't sit next to each other this game now, possibly.
I'm sorry, but
because what's a bottom segregation going to have to be like on the lower tier? You're going to have empty seats, lots
of
them.
Yeah, I think
so that's more people missing out, not gone.
We've had the conversation before, and obviously back, you know, nearly 9-10 years ago, we were involved in the campaign to get Newcastle fans to Sunderland outside of a bubble trip and let fans, you know, but there's a line. I mean, there was a statement from a Newcastle Supporters Association the other week, which honestly I'm still laughing at sometimes think about it and just, you know, for sporting integrity, it's important that Newcastle get the maximum allocation at the stadium. And like, do me a favour. You've state-owned despotic regime football club talking who are, you know, going to game the system for the next however many years. You know, you'll be loaning players from Saudi Arabia, from yourselves, in the January window, which you all voted for because, you know, you've got that competitive advantage to do that now. And because you can't have X amount of 1,000 fans at the game, you're going to talk about, you know, the dilution of sport and integrity. Do us a favour.
No, there needs to be pushback on this from all angles.
I would just give them none. I'd give them zero.
They need to be pushed back on from all angles. So I'm hoping to see a statement from supporters group come out, and like hopefully you guys.
Well, we'll see how it develops in the next couple of days. But you know, it almost makes
it
you
just,
not want to go.
They wouldn't have it. They wouldn't have it if it was the other way around. They would speak up against it, and they wouldn't have it, and there'd be a big uproar about it. And we're just far too soft when it comes to stuff like this.
Yeah, it's pathetic. Like if that's going to happen, it's just completely unacceptable, and should not occur in any circumstance.
Right, well, that's, I don't know.
So that's my opinion.
That's so, just obviously total spot. There's been no official announcement on that yet. So,
what are your thoughts on that, Phil? Sitting there quietly.
I'll wait till it's confirmed.
Well, we'll see. I just feel like, I get why some people would want to wait, that's confirmed, but I feel like Newcastle groups were quite quick to come out and give their opinion on it and go public with how they see things. And I just feel like there should have been a counter to that already. We'll see. We'll see.
We'll see what happens, won't we? I guess it's difficult to counter but until you know what's official. Yeah,
if you're making your feelings known from the start, just don't even think about this. This would be unacceptable.
I guess if you're governed by the police, maybe they're going, well, we've got to give them this, and this is the only way we can do it. That would be the argument, but it's just completely ridiculous and should never happen under any circumstance.
But I would say that if you say, right, no, it's not safe to do it unless we do that, then you say, so we can't do it then? Because that's our away end.
Yeah.
So that means if you're not that's happy with having an increased allocation, then they're only getting a small allocation because that's our away end, and we're not going to let our home fans lose out because we're going to have to put more empty seats to segregate the fans, and we're going to lose out with that. So, no. Just no. Right. Oh, well, let's see what happens with that one. Like I say, hopefully everybody's really vocal and tries to push back on that because that will be just not on. Right. Oh, well. Matt will be back later in the week to look ahead to the weekend's game, Bristol City, isn't it, on Saturday, and look back to see whatever happened against Leeds. As always,
we might have more movement on the manager situation potentially by then as well. Maybe. So that'd be exciting.
Maybe. Yeah,
and more anger about ticket allocations in the Newcastle game. I think it's going to be rumble. This thing's going to rumble on for weeks.
It will just be the most tone deaf. Just whatever. Right. Let's just see what happens. Right. Okay. As always, thanks for listening.